Okay, I'm going to call the Senate State Affairs meeting to order. Today is Tuesday, March 6th, and the time is 3:30. Members present is Senator Giesel, Senator Coghill, Senator Wilson, and Senator Egan, as well as myself, Senator Meyer. And with us as well, we have committee staff, Christine Marsegan, Senate Records, Christopher Dickrell, and LIO moderator, Max, behind me. So, Max Stanley.
Yeah, I got it.
All right, so we only have one item on today's agenda. That is Senate Bill 196. This is a statutory appropriation limit. And this is a Senate finance bill. And we have Senator Machicki will give us an overview of the bill and answer any questions we may have. And also he's got his lifeline with him, Ms. Laura Kramer, to assist in any answers to questions as well. So is there anything to come before the committee before we get started? Okay, seeing none, then let's, Senator Machicki, will you please join us? And I think you know the routine. If you could put your name and affiliation on the record for us and then proceed with the introduction of the Senate Finance Bill 196, an act relating to appropriation limit. Senator Machicki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Pleasure to be here today. Senator Peter Machicki, District O, representing Senate Finance today on a bill that we've dropped. And you talked about the title already, an act relating to an appropriation limit and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the state of Alaska relies on a single commodity to fund more than 85% of our government services. And with declining production and lower prices, or stable production and lower prices, Alaska continues to face a significant budget deficit. As you know, it's what we've talked about the last 4 or 5 years. We've cut the operating and capital budgets by over $3 billion in the last 4 fiscal years, but we've continued to draw from our savings accounts to fill the gap between revenue and expenditures. Senate Bill 196 sets a $4.1 billion statutory limit on how much the legislature can appropriate every year with regard to agency operating budget expenses. In a moment, I'll talk about why that's important. The limit would be adjusted annually for inflation. The appropriation limit does not apply to appropriations for the payment of permanent fund dividends, capital projects, state debt obligations, and receipt-supported services such as receipts of the Alaska Marine Highway System, or DGF, if you will. We must control our spending in order to refill our savings accounts and sustain the programs Alaskans rely on in their everyday lives. Senate Bill 196 is the needed framework to help guide the governor and the legislature through the budget-making process. Now is the time to pass an effective statutory appropriation limit. And, Mr. Chairman, I don't like to look back. The legislature did a fine job on significant savings, but when revenues were very high, we spent a dollar or two as well. I believe in front of you, you have a chart that we have provided from legislative finance, and there are two lines on that chart. The blue line is the UGF appropriation limit backing out, deflating the value of $4.1 billion that we're spending today down to FY99 levels. The green line is starting at the actual FY99 spend and inflating with Anchorage CPI. And what we're demonstrating there is, had we had an appropriation limit in place, we would have spent approximately $15 billion less dollars, which would mean we would still have a CBR in place. We would not be talking about reducing dividends. We would be at a much more sustainable place in history than we are today. So why are we doing this now? We're doing this now because, as you can see, the top spend was FY13. We have brought that down to levels that are closer to the 08-09 spending. However, if we don't set an appropriation limit moving forward, we're going to find ourselves in the same position. I'll leave it at that. I can cover the sectional, which is quite simple, Mr. Chairman, if you'd like, and then take any questions.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Machicki. I'm still looking at your chart that you provide us here. The green line represents what, if I may, Senator Machicki?
So they both represent, the blue and the green line are Anchorage CPI overlaid on the spend. The blue line is deflating from current spend at $4.1 billion down to what it would have been in 99. The green line is inflating from what we actually spent in 99 to where we would be today. So had we had this in place in 99, today we'd be spending about $3.2 or $3 billion, as opposed to the 4.1 we're spending if we would have retained that discipline through that period of time. So it's just two ways to look at it. Either way, we would have avoided those high spending years between 07 and 15 when we started reducing. And that number between the blue line and the red line would be in savings right now had we observed an appropriation limit.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Senator Machicki. And that's how you arrived at the $4.1 billion number to use as the starting point.
$4.1 billion was last year's UGF spend, yes.
Okay. Is there any questions from the committee members? One more, and then I'll move on. How do you deal with the emergencies?
So that is excluded, and I'll talk about that when we go through the sectional.
Okay, why don't we go ahead and do that?
I'm going to have a sectional.
Okay, all right, let's go ahead and do the sectional, and then we'll get into more questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 196, an act relating to an appropriation limit and providing for an effective date. Section 1 removes the reference to the current statutory appropriation limit. Remember, it's there, but has not obviously been, we've never triggered it. It has not been effective. Section 2, statutory appropriation limit. Unrestricted general fund appropriations may not exceed $4.1 billion. Adjusts for inflation using known inflation data, which is Anchorage CPI. Inflation is based on the Consumer Price Index for Anchorage prepared by the United States Bureau of Labor Statistics. The appropriation limit excludes appropriations to the Alaska Permanent Fund for permanent fund dividend payments, for payment of debt obligations of the state, such as general obligation bonds and certificates of participation and capital projects. It defines a capital project, program receipts, and unrestricted general fund. Section 3 repeals the current statutory appropriation limit language. Section 4 gives the effective date of July 1, 2018, the beginning of the FY19 fiscal year.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Machicki. So I think you were going to tell me how you're dealing with emergencies, yes.
Well, Mr. Chairman, there are still going to be occasional supplemental issues, and we would deal with them traditionally. You would hope that the legislature would take into account last year's supplemental when they're defining next year's spend so that they remain within the spending limit. The goal here is to keep the pressure on to if you remember, Mr. Chairman, when we talk about the fact that we believe in the next couple or 3 years we'll be dealing with a balanced budget, that requires us to grow at lower than inflation, which is 2.25% in the governor's model, if you will. Anchorage CPI, although it fluctuates, is generally below that rate. So we feel that it's a more appropriate growth rate than just plucking an inflation rate that's static out of the air. It's actually adjusted on how costs change in our largest city from year to year.
Okay, very good, Senator Machicki. I guess the concern I have is that that the supplemental not get so large and kind of used as a way to get around the spending cap, but that would just be something we'd have to deal with at the time, I guess. And I do want to recognize Senator Showers with this. Welcome, Senator Shower. Good to have you.
Mr.
Chair. Yeah, go ahead, Senator Michiki.
It's funny you should bring up the growing supplemental budget problem, which is one of the reasons that we feel that we have to instill some discipline on future spend. That is a problem. A spending limit or appropriation limit will highlight our need to contain costs in things like perhaps Medicaid and other health and social service programs that are growing somewhat exponentially and well above the inflation rate. So it will highlight our need to contain the costs in some of those programs.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Senator Michiki. Question, Senator Wilson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through this committee, we've heard a couple of different spending limits, one constitutional, one statutorial, and there's other bills in the other body that also have different limits, 4.3, 4.5, 4.1. Can you tell us how you got to your number of 4.1?
Well, I believe, yes.
Senator Michiki.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Senator Wilson, that was our number of last year's budget. I personally hope it's very close to the number of this year's UGF budget as well. But you have to start somewhere. And your job as a committee is to determine if that's the best starting point. Probably the most important issue is that we control the growth rate, and not quite as important that we get the exact starting point. But my goal is that it would be something realistic and as low as possible.
Thank you, Senator Wilson. Yes, I think you're referring to an SJR 2. The constitutional amendment was set at $4.3 billion. But I like Senator Michiki's bill better because that's, almost a $500 million reduction from where the budget is now. Is that right? We had about 4.6, or as the governor has proposed it anyway.
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. I'm uncomfortable with the current level of UGF spend, excluding dividends, that we are currently at. And I think our job is to, particularly in these difficult times, to ensure that we, although we need to cover our costs realistically, as low a starting point as possible.
Okay. Very good. Other questions for Senator Michiki? Okay, don't see any right now. Senator Michiki, thank you very much for introducing the bill to us.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes,
Senator. Thank you. And this, of course, is a committee bill. Senator Von Imhoff will be working with me on bringing it through the system, of course, until we get to finance, where it's a team effort. But the reason you have a Senate Finance Committee bill is because it is supported by the committee. So we are taking it quite seriously and hope to get it through the system this year.
Excellent. Very good. Thank you, Senator Michiki, and thank you to the Finance Committee for this for the introduction of the bill. Okay, if there's no questions at this time, then let's go to public testimony, and let's start here in Juneau. Jeremy Price with the Americans for Prosperity. Jeremy, welcome to Juneau, and if you would put your name and affiliation on the record, please.
My name is Jeremy Price. I'm the Alaska State Director of Americans for Prosperity. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to testify in support of the bill before us today. We, on behalf of thousands of activists across the state, we wholeheartedly support limitations on spending. While we would prefer the your bill, actually, that moved out of committee, this is a nice dovetail piece of legislation that continues to act as a brake on spending increases. We, our organization, has a history with spending limitations in Anchorage, as you may know. We ran a successful ballot initiative in 2016 to restore the Anchorage tax cap that was gutted by the mayor there. We were successful, and we won by about 20 points. It was passed 60% to 40%, so 60% of voters supported that spending limitation. That's a good, a unique number, because when the spending limitation in the Constitution was passed, it was similar. In 1986, for that second vote, where voters in Alaska were deciding whether or not to keep that spending limitation in place in the state Constitution, 65% of voters supported keeping that spending limit in place, even though it has never really worked because it's been so high. That number is significant, because Dittman Research also has polled on that, and statewide polling shows roughly 60% of Alaskans support a state spending cap today. So whether or not you look at it from the 80s to now, to the city of Anchorage, to statewide, the number is pretty similar. Vast majority of Alaskans support limitations on spending. So we're confident the majority of Alaskans are with you on this issue. The bill does exempt debt obligations from the limitation. I completely understand why, but I think it is important for the committee to recognize that we are, what, roughly $10 billion in the red for debt obligations. The Wall Street Journal last year placed Alaska 47 out of 50 in our ability to pay our pension obligations. So that's a big issue, especially as the legislature has bills in both bodies to consider bringing back defined benefits for certain state workers. Boy, I hope we get these spending limitations in place and we adhere to them. We commend the committee for taking this issue on. We hope that both bills advance to the Senate floor, and we're ready to assist in any way that we can. Thanks for your time.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Price, and certainly we hope the constitutional amendment bill makes it as well. As you know, though, it's a much higher hurdle to get over to do a constitutional amendment than a statutory a bill. So hopefully both of them will move through the process here quickly. Thank you. Okay, let's go now. I don't have anyone else here in the room signed up to testify. We'll come back to Juno. Let's go to the LIOs. First one is the Matsu LIO, and Mike Alexander. Mike, are you with us, sir?
I am.
Okay.
I'm from Big Lake. I came in to speak as a citizen. And basically, I like this approach, but I think it's a little late, and I wonder, just because you spent $4.1 billion last year, why there isn't a lower, like a 3.5 somewhere in there. Not saying that is a magic number, because I really don't know, but to just go, this is what we spent last year, you're already overspending in the last 10 years. So I applaud you on trying to get this through, and I hope you do, but I would like to see that number a little lower on the absolute budget of it. Instead of like 4.1, maybe 3.9, 3.8 would be realistic. And then the rest of it would go in the budget. I could see that happening. And other than that, I'm hoping you can get it through the House somehow. I don't see how, but hopefully you will. And that's all I have to say about it. I would like to see the actual overall amount instead of 4.1. I'd love to see it somewhere lower than that. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Mike. Okay, is there a Garvin?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Garvin, if you could pronounce your last name for me and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Garvin Bucaria. I'm a resident of the Wasilla City in the Matanuska-Susitna Valley. I support SB 196. However, I believe it'll be a cold day in hell before the House version of Senate Bill 196 will pass the House. Even less likely that this governor would sign off on such a bill. There's no discipline on future spending based on the current pattern of spending by all parties of our government. I believe the only way to curb the problem of overspending is for the Senate to not pass any 2019 budget until the House and the governor reduce their addictive spending habits. For instance, curb the governor's travel to China particularly, stop this LNG gas line program based on its uneconomic prospects, stop the Murkowski-Alaska Railroad routing through Canada. I can only suggest that before any changes will happen, there has to be some pain experienced. I thank you for your time and hope that you have some success. However, I have a dismal outlook. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Garvin. I appreciate the testimony. Yeah, I have no idea what the other body will do with this, but we got to do what's right. So let's continue on here to Mike Kuntz in Palmer.
Yes, sir. My name is Mike Kuntz from Palmer, and I'm speaking for myself. First of all, I do support both the constitutional and SB 196. We are in a recession, and this governor wants to increase spending while taking our PFD, taxing the hell out of us, and dipping into the earnings reserve and CBR more. One tool in the toolbox is SB 196. The previous appropriation limit has not worked because we've had legislators working around it. This is like when my wife and I got our act together to fill in the hole we had dug with our debt. We finally figured out that if we kept digging, then the deeper in debt we got. So we stopped digging and started filling in the hole. Like what our state has done, we had a pile of money coming in, and we spent more than we had coming in. But no worries, we would always pay that off later. Then later came. Income decreased, and all of a sudden, we had to use our savings and more credit to stay above the hole we had dug. Really, we just thought we saw over the hole. The state needs to set a solid budget that is less than you take in. Pay off the debt and stop with the frills. If we didn't work in a restaurant, we didn't go there. It took grit and hard decisions, but slowly we were able to not only pay off debt, but to fill up our savings. We filled the hole we had dug, and now we have more coming in than going out. It still takes a solid appropriations limit even now because we are human and we can slip back. For us, nice things are paid for cash, not by credit. No difference with us versus the state of Alaska. You have constitutional mandates and then you have the frills that at one time you had the money to do. Now you don't, and those frills are now seen by those who get those nice things as mandated entitlements. Enough. Nicely and firmly inform those that have expected that those entitlements that they need to take responsibility for those nice things themselves. Then cut off the funding and return to what is only constitutionally mandated. You will find that the ability to fulfill these mandates will be more effective and may even be more cost effective. Support SB 196 and let's get our state back in the green.
Okay, thank you very much for that testimony, Mr. Kuntz. Okay, Beth Freed. Beth, are you still with us?
This is Beth Freed in Palmer.
Okay, Beth.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. Yes, if you could just state your name again, then proceed with your testimony, please.
Okay, this is Beth Freed in Palmer, and I'm calling in support of Senate Bill 196. I believe that the people that were here a long time before you put in the permanent fund with the earnings reserve split so that you would have enough in emergencies to go ahead and continue to fund government without emptying everything out. And Senate Bill 196 goes a good ways towards reaching that goal. You have a governor who is like in a candy shop and 4 years old, eating as much candy as his parents will let him buy. So I wish that you would cut the governor's budget as well as passing 196. Or a companion bill. I just really believe that we have gone way off track with our spending and our dipping into other people's pockets for the money that government should be able to handle. We spend way more than our population represents. We're the size of a small city in the lower 48, and we have the budget of a much larger cities. We need to stop doing this. I appreciate the fact that you all are looking at this, and I hope that you will quickly pass it through so that you can continue working on reining in spending and not finding more pennies everywhere. Thank you.
All right, Beth, thank you very much for your testimony. Let's go now to Kathy Williams. Kathy, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Please proceed with your testimony, Kathy.
My name is Kathy Williams. I live here in Chugiak, Alaska. I've been a resident of the state for 50 years, and I don't have a lot to say. I've never done this before, but I'm going to be brave. I just wanted to say that I do support the appropriation limit bill 196. It's the responsible thing to do as a mom, a grandmother, a wife. I have a household that I have to keep mindful of the money that goes out and the credit that we use and having to pay that back. So I don't think with our government it should be any different. So I just appreciate the opportunity to testify and that you've been able to consider my opinion.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Kathy, for that testimony. Okay, let's continue on to Michelle Schauer. Michelle, are you with us?
I am there. I'm here.
Okay. Michelle, if you could put your name on the record, please, and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Michelle Schauer, and I live in Wasilla. And I just wanted to say I support SJR2, the constitutional spending limit, and I don't support budget increases. And that was all I needed to say. Or taxes.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. Michelle, were you testifying on 196, the spending limit bill?
Oh, sorry, SB 196, supporting the spending cap bill.
Yeah, that's the one. Okay. All right, very good. Thank you very much for that testimony, Michelle. Okay, is there anyone else online that I may have missed? Everybody's been pretty brief and to the point, which is good. Okay, anyone else here in Juneau? If not, then I am going to go ahead and close public hearing. And we'll bring the bill back before the committee. Is there any additional questions or thoughts that the committee members have?
I know. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Coghill.
If I could get questions to the senator. He probably thought about this. Maybe for Senator Michicki. On the page 2, line 1213, I just want to get some clarity. And the question is, the unrestricted general fund means money deposited in the state treasury that has not been dedicated or designated first by the Constitution and then by law. And so I wonder if that is going to be a big hole in the wall. They may have thought about it because of the restrictions on there. I just wondered if they had thought through the terminology with the sections B and C.
Okay, very good.
And they don't have to answer it now. It's just a question I'm going to get because I see him scratching his head. So it's just that would be the first thing that I would look at. How this gets implemented. So they can come back later and answer that. But first question I had right off.
Okay. Do you have a second question?
Nope.
Okay.
I wish I did. But
you're going to stick with that one?
I like what we're doing. I just don't want to see a freight train drive through that.
Understand. Senator Michiki, are you prepared to answer Senator Coghill's question? Otherwise, you're more welcome to ask for a lifeline or come back to us next Thursday. Senator Michiki.
Thank you. Of course, Senator Peter Michiki, District O, and I wasn't scratching my head, just waiting for the question to be fully formulated. So I appreciate that, Senator Coghill. And I have been sitting with Ms. Kramer, my lifeline, who's staffing this bill. And what we're doing is making sure that money that is truly UGF, that's not encumbered for some other constitutional or other use, is the reason we're separating that from where the spending cap does not apply. So if it's already encumbered, it could be a past appropriation or for some other use that we're not foreseeing here, but we don't see it as a workaround. UGF is UGF and agency operations, and I think that's a fairly clear delineation.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Coghill.
Having been around the block a few times here, you know, you always get suspicious, so, and I'm just going to tell you what my suspicion is, and you can take it for what it's worth, and that is we have a fund that would probably take several pages, funds that are designated funds, but not designated funds, you know what I mean? We designate a fund to do a purpose, but we always say in our appropriations, this is not a dedicated fund, but if you have money appropriated to it, it can go to the fisheries or the schools or this or that or the other. And so that could be considered a designated but not dedicated. And those are two very different terms. And since, for example, we have for a few years ago, I was trying to get the hospitals to ramp up their 911 readiness and improve their trauma rating. Well, we took some money and we put it in a fund dedicated to that issue, but it wasn't a non-dedicated fund. It had to be dedicated to that issue, but general fund had to be appropriated on an annual basis. Well, under this language, I just wondered if that would create all these funds to get a free run at appropriations. So you might want to just put that under your hat and think about it a little bit.
Thank you. Through the chair, Senator Coghill, what's intended by this is items that are dedicated by the Constitution, and I hear what you're saying, but in that case, that example you gave, and I admit that there are games that have been played, we're trying to eliminate the potential to shove things off as a designated or dedicated DGF, if you will. You know, the example we use on DGF is the university. We don't want to discourage them if they try to cover their costs by increasing student costs, which is a direct user fee, right? But it is DGF. We want them to have the flexibility to do that. But that is not included in this appropriation. Even in the case that you gave about creating a fund for emergency response on an annual basis, that happens to be UGF, and that will be a part of this spending limit. So we're always going to have to remain diligent for tricks in the budgeting process. We like to believe that's what we do best, but the tighter that we're going to have to become and the better that we're going to have to become at being diligent on future spending, the more time we're going to have to spend to make sure that no one is trying to create a workaround on an appropriation limit. So I agree that we're going to have to all spend a little extra time during the budgeting process to make sure that that's not the case.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Senator Coghill. Additional questions? Senator Michiki, why don't you stay put there for a little bit? Senator Michiki, I think you heard one of our testifiers, I don't know if it was Mike or Garvin, suggested bringing the amount down to $3.9 billion. Now, knowing what the governor proposed at 4.6, it's going to be probably a struggle enough just trying to get down to 4.1. Any thoughts on the number, and do you want to stay with that 4.1?
Well, I believe you had a couple of testifiers. I think Mr. Alexander was one, and perhaps Mr. Coons was another. I agree with those individuals that we would like to bring the number as low as possible and perhaps down to that level. What's most important is passing this bill. So this is like planting a seed. Where you're never going to have a tree without planting a seed or a sapling, right? Had we done this, as I pointed out and as you have in front of you with your chart, we would have $10 or more billion in the CBR today just by exercising that discipline of disappropriation limit had we done it back in 99. And the more important aspect is passing this bill. If we try to negotiate the budget within this bill, I feel that there's no chance of getting it across the finish line, and that's our first priority. We may not get to the number we want this year, but it will provide the discipline to remain on target in the future.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Machicki. Senator Egan?
No.
Oh. Senator Coggio, I see you got your book out.
I've been trying to find something in statute since you started this. And I remember some years ago when we talked about a spending triage priority, and I can't find it in statute, but it was on years where we just did not have the cash that we put things at a higher priority, mm-hmm. and the lower priority ones just wouldn't get the money. And on a spending limit, it would be nice to reference that, and I just can't find it. So I will find it, Senator, and I think it needs to be highlighted because this being statutory, you're going to have some help on how do we do this if the world gets to the point where we can't live at 4.2 for whatever reason. It's going to have a triage thing. And so. But I can't find it, and I will find it. And so that's why I was asking the senator, because his memory and mine, I know we went through this one time before, and I just can't remember where it's at. So I'll find it.
I agree. Through the chair, Senator Coghill, we have to start somewhere. And the only problem we're having with getting out on 90 days and having both sides shake hands in absolute agreement is something called priority differences. We are attempting to address priorities that are constitutional at the lowest cost possible, and others have perhaps a different view on those priorities, and we're hoping to agree in the statutory 90 days that we have in front of us, but that is always the challenge. So I think the first approach is a statutory spending limit. Perhaps we are successful in a constitutional spending limit, and then we will take that priority battle back here next year on what we can do in that very situation. And I don't know that that's possibility that we don't run into. If we run into another significant reduction in oil prices, if for some reason we are challenged on production in the future, there are many issues, returns to the permanent fund. There are many reasons why we're going to have to look at that prioritization. So I hope we do move into that direction, and I hope we can find some agreement between the various sides, majority, minority, House, Senate, and arrive at some sort of consensus in the future.
Okay, very good. Additional questions? Okay. Questions? All right. Seeing none, thank you, Senator Machicki. Okay. I see no reason to hold this bill up anymore. Senator Coghill, it sounds like you may have some additional information that you could pass on to the Finance Committee and they can make the appropriate adjustments there unless you feel
that's
strongly
fine.
About
No. I'll always be glad to be good counsel to the Finance Committee.
David, just listen to me. I did notice, though, we have a lot of emails from folks, and I know in the middle of the afternoon it's sometimes hard to get away from work to testify. So hopefully everyone's had a chance to look at the emails. The fiscal note, of course, is zero. And if there's nothing else to discuss on this bill, Senator Geisel.
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Bill number 196, version 30, LS1022-Juliet, from this committee to the next with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal note.
Okay. Seeing and hearing no objections, and Senate Bill 196 moves from the State Affairs Committee. So let's take a brief IDs while everybody signs the committee report. Okay, I bring this Senate State Affairs Committee back to order. We just concluded the hearing on Senate Bill 196, and it has passed out of committee. Is there anything else that the committee members would like to bring up at this time? Okay, seeing and hearing none, then our next meeting will be Thursday, March 8th. We'll be hearing Senate Bill 186, which has to do with voter registration and PFD application registration. So if there's nothing else to come before the committee at this time, we will be adjourned at 4:13.